Well, the Bible does tell us in John 10:10 that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the main things that he does do is try to come and kill and destroy and, is the family. And today we're going to talk about family. And what we can see is that Satan has done a pretty nasty job with us as humans. We see it in we see it in Adam and Eve when he destroyed that, you know, we have choices, but still he is there in the midst of it. That we see that he has stole their innocence, destroyed a perfect marriage, destroyed a perfect relationship with God, and he'd done some serious damage with them. But even in that same family, we see also that one son killed another son, and we see murder there in that family, and that destroyed that family in many ways. We see Noah as well, being one of his sons, also came and did something that he shouldn't, and showed high disrespect for his father, and that was at a high cost. We even see Lot, who ran and was raised and kind of walked with Abraham, but he himself had sexual relations with two of his daughters. We see Jacob and Esau. Who had parents that loved each one more than they did the other. And we also see Joseph set apart also being loved more than others, but also costing at a high cost of what was going on in that family, being that he was mistreated by his own siblings. We see the family, that's just the book of Genesis. that's just in Genesis, and there's even more there that we left out. But I want to share today, we're going to talk about the family today. We're going to talk about those things, but I want you to open your eyes for a minute. I did some research, and I'm going to tell you, Indiana ranks number 7 in the country as one of the highest Christian states. And so that is a very high one. I believe it's like 72% is Christianity. 52% of them would be Protestant, 20% is probably they would label as Catholic. It's very high Catholic also in Indiana. But you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it by the attendance in this building. You wouldn't know it because every Sunday when I drive down First Street, I look down to my right, I look down to my left, and I see all the parking spots are full. Street parking is full. That means they didn't get up. They're not having. They don't know whether they don't want to get up in the morning. They don't want to go where they need to go. So if we're going to be 72% in the state of Indiana, let me tell you also that Indiana is also, when it comes to the Department of Child Services, we are the fourth highest rate of DCS being involved in any situation. We have the fourth largest Department of Child Services in the country. That means we struggle with raising kids. That's the fourth largest. Yeah. We're also number 7 when it comes to drunk driving. We're also number 10 when it comes to the worst drug addiction state. We're number 10. Woo, we're really winning, aren't we? But I thought we were a seventh highest in religion, or at least Christianity. But we also have the sixth highest divorce rate in the country. Some of these numbers can be skewed on which one you use or whatever, but Indiana is up there. And divorce rate, number 6. It tells you that our family peace is struggling. Indiana is not that good. We are not as good as we think we are. So what I want to do is I want to prepare you, just remind you that this is a message that you don't preach if you want to grow a bunch of people and come into the church house. Because people, we want to hear what we want to hear. We want to hear what makes me feel good. Not what's going to really maybe help me, but make me feel good. So this is church has always been one that's going to preach the best that it can through the Bible. We're going to do the best we can. And But sometimes people leave because they don't want to hear what needs to be said at times. There's going to be some things said today about the family that might hit you between your eyes or in your heart. But you know what? Work on that with the Lord. Work that out. But I'm going to share some things with you today. You might not like them, but it is the Bible. But again, people, we want to go out and we want to hear what makes me feel good. We want to go. Nobody ever says, hey, did you go to church today? Did the Lord do something in your life today? Most of the time we'll say, hey, church was really good. I really liked that. I really liked that. What you like is we like what makes us feel good. But sometimes we need to go to church and worship and we need to walk away going, wow, God really messed me up today. God's really working in my life today. God's really moving in my life. And the thing is, it's not all this good stuff. He's revealing some things that I need to make adjustments in my life. If we were so good, because we're part of Indiana, if we were so good, I don't think we'd be number four with the largest DCS department in the country. I know that some of you know that I went down to the Capitol this year. I was invited to go to the Capitol, and when it was with the, met some of the individuals down there, and I kept hearing things about Department of Child Services. Oh, we're not doing good with the kids. We're not doing, and all, you can have all these programs, but if you can't put it together, it's not going to work. And here's the thing. We think we can figure it out, but God's already got it figured out. He laid out these scriptures throughout the Bible on how to be a family. How to be a family. So if we're going to work on the family, the first thing we need to look at is the husband and wife. Yep, we're going there today. So let's camp out. And we're going there today. And if you're one of those that like to nudge your spouse, do it. Just don't let me see it. When I look this way, do it over there. When I look this way, you do it over there. Don't blame me for it. Listen, get your Bible out. You're going to see it on the screen, but get your Bible out because if you're going to think it's not true, you need to reread it. You need to because there are roles that we play and we live that we should live as believers. It's not about what the world is doing. We need to be doing what God's Word tells us to do. And sometimes it is hard and we don't want to hear it. But let's hear what God has to say. And before we do, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. And so let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, we just lift up this time to you. We lift up this time and space that we are here together, that we may learn from your word, grow in the roles that we have. And we ask for your spirit to have free roam and free reign in this room. In Christ's name, amen. So what we're going to find out, that Satan is involved with this area as well. He's done a lot of damage in the marriage and the marriage department. Done a lot of damage in the marriage department. Let's pick it up in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read this whole section. I want to break it down in just a few. In verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as of the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself to splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And then it says, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Since we are members of his body, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. And to sum up, each one of us is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. What we find in here is a lot of you, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And what we see is we see that there are roles here. There is a wife role and there is a husband role. Now, I can speak a lot more on the, I see a lot of smiles right now, so I'm going to contain myself. But I see that there is a piece here when it comes to the wives. Now, there are some things here. The wife, it says that the wife is to submit to the husband. And there's a reason. I'm going to share with you why that God talks about that And also about the man. But here it is. We find out because the husband is the head of the home. He is the head of the home. And that's what the Bible tells us. And so, but many wives find this to be ridiculous. Why should I submit to my husband? We find this ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. But that is rebellion. That is rebellion. That's not rebellion against the husband. That is rebellion against God's word. That's rebellion against God. Not against the husband, but against God. Because God has the one to put it out there. So he says that that the wives should be submissive to their husband. Now that doesn't mean that the husband comes in with ruling iron and iron fist and slams down those things. That's not what that's in the next part here. That's not the way that this displays. But a lot of females struggle with it. They struggle with submissive. And the thing is, nobody likes to use that word today. Because that's not what you're going to hear in a lot of churches. You're not going to hear the word, oh, the husband. No, we're equally yoked. We're equal in everything. We are supposed to be equal in all those things, but there's still a role that we all have. And if you're a wife, your role is to be submissive. And we see that part there. Why submit to your husbands as to the Lord? In verse 33, it says, and the wife is to respect her husband. There's a part of that because there's a natural part to rebel for wives. There's a natural part to rebel. And it isn't that I'm saying it this morning, but God said it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve messed up and they sinned, God put something down on all of them, on Eve and on Adam. But on Eve, he said this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. He said to the woman, I will intensify your labor pains, and you will bear children with painful effort. But it also says your desire will be for your husband, and yet he will rule over you. And no one likes that. Nobody likes that. It's not a natural peace for us to feel that way, that we don't like that. That doesn't mean that when bad things are happening, you don't submit under, you can't submit under somebody that beats you every day. You have to figure out, you got to work that out. You got to be, it's kind of like when I talk a lot about loving each other from a distance. Sometimes you have to put a safe spot between you and someone. But here it is. When it comes down to being in a husband and wife relationship, it talks about that the wives are to be submissive to their husbands. And the reason that it talks about that so much is that this is the area that women struggle with, is the area of submissive. And here it is, that God puts it in the Bible more than six times. It's got to be important if he said it more than six times. Which means you got to trust your husband. He's a spiritual leader of the home. You got to pray for him that he will connect with God and lead the family in the way that it's supposed to go. And it doesn't mean every day is easy, but it means that if you're doing your role, there's so many other parts of it about winning them over if they're lost and things, but we're not going in that today. We're sticking on some main pieces. But to be submissive is to listen and to follow in those ways that he is leading. And you may not always agree, but again, you need to be praying for your husband. You need to be praying for your husband. And today, society, we're bombarded with feminists, all those things that started in the late 60s, all those things here, and all those. Listen, it's just, there's a lot there that I could jump into, but I'm just saying there's a part there that the Bible tells us that wives are to be submissive to their husbands. And it is biblical. It is biblical. It's not, oh, you're better than me. That's not what it is. It's doing the role that God has laid out. Is doing the role that God has laid out. But then it goes into the men. Here's the men. The men, this will all come together in just a few minutes. The men are called to love. And this is what men struggle with, loving their wives. Loving their wives is not just saying, I love you. Loving your wives is putting all yourself into it. And the Bible says that the man, that he love, who doesn't love his own body? And so there's always there's a saying out there that if men can get involved, men's always has their what do you want to call it, They're always their toys. They always have their thing they like to do, whether it is. And sometimes it takes away. And if a man doesn't remind himself that he's married, he'll just drift all the way out there. And he needs to be reminded that. And he looks at his hands and says, oh, yeah, I'm married. I got to make sure I don't spend all my days fishing or I don't spend all every day. Listen, I know a guy who had a wall. He got a divorce. And I was in his house, in his garage. And I was like, man, where did you get all these? And it was just a full wall of trophies. And this is what he told me. He says, yeah. I said, man, that must have been a lot. I mean, you must be really good at what you do, basketball and golf. He said, yeah, I'm pretty good. But it cost me my marriage. And so basically, he was all about himself. Men have this thing about wanting to be by themselves. About, so I can do this, I can do this, I can do that. But the Bible tells us that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ gave everything up for the bride, everything up for the church. Doesn't mean you have to give all those things up. It just means you need to make sure that you are loving your wife in the way that God wants you to. It's important because the Bible mentions men have to love their wives more than five times in the Bible. More than five times, because here it is. Women drift off the way from submissiveness, and men drift off in the way of love. And then God says these are the things that will help put you in the right perspective. We're to do that. It's important. It's important for the husband to love his wife. In Ecclesiastes 9:9, it says, enjoy life with your wife you love all the days of your fleeting life, which has been given to you under the sun, all your fleeting days, for that is your portion in life. And in your struggle, it's also part of your struggle under the sun, because it's hard to be sometimes and do all the things that you're called to do as a wife or even as a husband. So we are called to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And the whole thing there is that we have roles that we need to do. And it isn't that, oh, I wish she, God, praying to God, saying, God, you need to change her. That doesn't work. God, you need to change him. It's better when you say, Lord, what is it that I need to change? Lord, what is it that needs to happen in my life so that I can be a better husband or a better wife? And make sure that you're doing that. But then sometimes in marriage, we find something that happens. And in marriage, sometimes there's something called another part of the family is divorce. And the Bible says that God hates divorce. But although sometimes things happen, the Bible gives an out. God gives an out for adultery. Although he'd still like to see people get together if they can forgive, but he also understands. And the Bible says he allows people to get a divorce because of adultery. Adultery is an ugly thing. But divorce, God doesn't like it. When divorce comes, the Bible says the two shall become one. We just read that a few minutes ago, that the two shall become one. But Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 9, therefore what God has joined, let no one separate. So God doesn't want it to separate. But what happens in divorce is it rips. Something that comes together as two become one, it rips and it tears apart something that was unified, that comes under the promises and the vows that people had made before God. And this is the piece that God says, this is a clear understanding that God says this is an unbreakable bond. But then again, it happens. And so what happens is it begins to rip and begins to tear apart, and everybody suffers. Everybody suffers. The husband, the wife that's getting a divorce, the children suffer, all the family that's involved with it, everybody suffers. If it happens in church, the church suffers. It suffers. And here it is, these individuals that go through the divorce, it may not have been their fault. What they end up doing is they begin to try to work through things, but they struggle because they carry blame. Even if they didn't do it, they go back and they relook at themselves and say, maybe it was all me. They become angry. There's blame and there's hatred sometimes. There's hate, there's loneliness, and there's a lot of confusion. But this doesn't mean that God's done with you. This does not mean that God is done with you. And the Bible tells us that. Always find, if you really want to know what's going on and whatever you're going through in life, ask the Lord. Get your Bible out. God will show you some answers. He'll lead you to some answers. The answers are right here. The answers are in God's Word. But here in Romans, there's a hope for those even going through divorce or going through anything. In verse 26, Romans 8, verse 26, It says in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. And when someone's going through a divorce, they're weak. They're weak. They have some weaknesses because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And what we find out is even when someone's going through a divorce, they're struggling. They don't even know how to pray. They're going all through mixed emotions. But verse 28 says this, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Who are called according to His purposes. What does that mean? It means we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. There are people that are going through a divorce that love God. And they're just trying to figure it out. But this is a piece here. Then God will work that through. God will work through that divorce. As much as He doesn't like it, as much as He hates divorce, He will work through that with people who are believers, who are working through that divorce. And He will work with them with a purpose. He'll work with them with a purpose. He'll work with them because He's not done with them. Bad things happen to good families sometimes. Bad things happen to good people, even believers. The divorce is a really hard thing. It's a really hard thing for people to work through. But not only are we talking about marriage and husband and wife, we're also talking about the children. The Bible has some things to say about children as well. And most of us here are connected. We have had children, or we have been a child to someone. But if Ephesians 6 here, we're going to read a couple of verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. And then it does say, fathers, do not stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So here it is. Children are called to obey their parents. They're called to obey their parents. And we have a society out here that's been trying to get people, getting children to conform to a sex change without parents' knowledge. We're just all kinds of things. It just divide the family more and more. But the Bible says that children ought to obey their parents because it's right. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Politics doesn't know how to do anything when it comes to the family. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. We're trying to build up things that don't even work. We're trying to build up things, anything, and what the world will do, use anything except for this book. But God says that you honor your parents, which is the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. You know that, right? I shall honor thy father and mother, right? Okay? So children are supposed to obey their parents. But the Bible says when you honor your parents, He says that that's the first one that comes with a promise that your life will go well and you'll live long. And it comes with a promise. Now, there are things that God does on the side of things in people's lives, but the majority of it is that life will go well and you'll live long. That's a promise of the Lord. That's a promise in God's Word. We don't believe it. Know why? Because Indiana is number 4 when it comes to this issue. Indiana is number 7 when it comes to this issue. Indiana can't get it together. And you know what? We're filled in the churches sometimes with people who we are believers, and we feel like we're doing it right. We're not! The family unit is falling apart. We would rather try to live together for 4 or 5 years to see if it's going to work. Well, the Bible says not to do that. The Bible says not to do that. We have taught things, even out of the pulpit, guys have taught things out of the pulpit that were unbiblical. Or was not trying to teach the things that are biblical. Listen, you want to win the future, you got to win the generation of today. You got to keep doing it over and over and over. And the church isn't doing a good job with it. A lot of churches are not doing a good job with it. So children are supposed to obey their parents, and they're supposed to listen to their parents. But when it comes to honoring your parents, they're also supposed to honor, when children are supposed to obey and honor their parents. But when that child gets older and that child becomes an adult. They don't have to obey their parents. They are adults themselves, but they are still called to honor their parents. Even if you have the worst parent in the world, there is a part where you can still honor them as that part of the role, but it doesn't mean you have to extend all the other courtesies. But we are called to honor our parents. It doesn't say honor your parents if they give you this. It doesn't say honor your parents if they give you that. And somebody will always say to me, you just don't know who my dad is. Or how do I know? My dad's in prison. Or my dad, I never met my dad. Listen, honor your parent because it's biblical. Because it's right. You don't have to put a bunch of strings to it. You can learn to love people from a distance. And you can also learn to love relatives from a distance. Keep a safe space. But we are called to honor our parents all the way to the end. Why? Because the Bible says if you do that, it comes with a promise. Your life will go well, and you will live long. Isn't that something? I think God thinks marriage and family and children are very, very important. But he doesn't stop there. He also goes into grandparenting. Now, is there any perfect parents out there? Is there any perfect husband out there? I don't see one. Is there any perfect wife out there? I don't see one. Is there any perfect kids out there? Nope. Is there any perfect moms or dads out there? Nope. Now be careful. Is there any perfect grandkids out there? Nah, don't answer that. Go ask their parents and they'll tell you no. As much as you love your grandkids, they are not perfect. As much as I want to say it, no, they're not perfect. Because all I got to do is ask a parent and they'll say no, no, no. Because we have learned to take them and then give them back. But grandparents are called to teach their children. The Bible says that the grandparents are called to teach their children and their children's children. It doesn't stop. You don't stop teaching when it comes to your kids that have grown and went on. No, it goes on into your children's children. I love it when I've seen that today. I love it when grandparents bring their grandkids to church, even if the grandkids' parents don't come to church, and you bring the grandkids to church. That says a lot. That's what the Bible's talking about. That's what the Bible is talking about. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen and so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Remember, you share with what you've learned through the past and you hand it down to the righteous things that God has taught you. You hand them down to your grandchildren. And what you do is you start laying out a legacy and you don't even know it. And you're laying it out. We are called to pray for our children, but not just our children, our grandchildren. Grandparents are called to pray for them. But just don't pray for them. Just do that. But you're supposed to speak into their lives about biblical things. Because grandkids want to have time with their grandparents until they get about 13, maybe 15. And then they just want probably some money. And you have this window that you can speak into their life. And they're watching. And grandparents need to be reminded that you are a living example. They're watching you. They're watching you live life. They're watching how you handle tough situations. They're watching how you handle things of life. And they're watching. And they're watching very closely. They've seen mom and dad do it, but now they're watching you. Yes. So one of the most important things you can do as a grandparent is to pray over your grandkids, but not just pray over them. Ask them and share with them things that are biblical and pray with them. Like when we do our dinner at our Sunday dinners, if our grandkids are here and they're all playing, we stop. We're going to pray for the dinner We can play later. We can do that. We can watch that later. But as a family, we're getting together. And we're going to have this moment, whether it's 15 seconds or a minute, we're going to pray together. And they're going to see that that is the ritual thing. This is a good ritual thing that we do as a family. Because we have a role. And remember, the man is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. And in his home, you should be a praying, that should be a praying home. Actually, the house should be known to pray, not just on Thanksgiving and Christmas, but every time you open, every time the meal is there. Even if you're upset with your spouse, you still pray because it is the right thing to do. And you become that spiritual leader, and your grandkids see that. And they should see that you stop everything that's going on in the house, and you make God important. And they'll respect that. And when they're having a hard time, they'll come back and they'll know your number. But Psalm 71 says this. You've got to be careful. Listen to it. Verse 17, 18 says, God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wondrous works. Still talking about, I'm still being faithful. But then he says this, even when I am old and gray, even when I'm old and gray, God, do not abandon me while I proclaim your power to another generation. Still working to share to the next generation. That writer is a godly person. That writer is doing what God has called a grandparent to do. Not just finishing young, but finishing even in their older days, and they're finishing strong. So how do we do this? How do we make this family work? How do we make the whole family unit work? One, we have to make sure that, listen, we get up in the morning on Sunday mornings and we're going to church. We all going to church. My boys never tell me they're not coming to church. Now they get older, they can make their own decisions, but in this house, they're coming to church because this house serves the Lord. And that's not being mean, that's just being right, that's being strong. And they give you lip. And your kids ever give you lip? They give you lip. Yep. They give it to you. I don't want to go today. I don't want to go. But that's where we're going today. That's where we're going today. We're going there because that's what we do. And they're going to be raised up in a Christian family, in a Christian home, where they may not want to do all those things, but those things are being planted in them. And it's the right things to do. And they may stray when they get in their 20s. They may stray in their late teens. They may stray out there. But I'm telling you what, you're not going to pray for them for the first time about what they're doing. You've already been praying ever since the day before they were born. You were already praying for them. And you're going to keep on praying for them all the way until you can't breathe no more. Because I'm telling you, even as a parent and your kids are all out of the house, you even pray for them more when they're out of the house more than when they were in the house. And then you have discussions with your spouse and they say, well, they're praying too. Why? Because that's what was embedded in that family. That's what was embedded in the spiritual part of that family. Now, what does it mean when we talk about all these things and how we all put it together? We put it all together. Well, in Proverbs, it tells us, I think this is the key to most things that we need to learn and understand. It's about trusting God in everything. Wives, trust the Lord when it comes to this whole thing of being submissive. It's not a bad word. But also, guys, don't think that love is a bad word either. Love is a good word. Love is not a weak word. Love is actually strong. No matter where you are in your life, no matter where your family is, there's some scriptures that you can hold on to that lead us into the ways that are right. Many of you know it by heart. It is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. That's just not for me as an individual, but that's for me and my whole family. My whole family. And also the church family, that we're going to seek the Lord in the right way. We're going to trust in Him. We're going to trust in Him every day, in all days. Nobody has a perfect family. There is no perfect husband. There is no perfect wife. There are no perfect children. There are no perfect grandchildren, and there are no perfect grandchildren either. But there is a perfect God. And He has a system that He laid down and said, this works. This is the way it works. If you do this, you're going to have a whole lot less problems. We didn't even get into forgiveness. We didn't get into all those things. But I think today was just scratching the surface. And I know some of us could say, I probably need to be a better husband. And probably some of us today could probably say, I need to be a better spouse. I need to be a better wife. A better child, a better son, a better daughter, a better grandparent. There's always room for growth. I'm embarrassed for the state of Indiana. I'm embarrassed. It turns my stomach. There's 50 states. And I was reading that, 50 states, number four when it comes to how we treat and how we take care of children. We are horrible. Seventh on the divorce rate. Yeah, or number six. Wow. We got something wrong. I'm not expecting the world to fix it because they don't know how to fix anything. But it's believers getting their hearts right back with God. No one can fix your family but you and God. That's it. And you can't change anyone. But you can work on yourself. Father, I know we come to this place, our service time, when we need to pray, and wherever we're sitting at, we can pray and ask your Spirit, Lord, to speak to us in a way that is fitting, and whatever your will is. But I pray for each one of us here today. We all have a role, and many of us have many roles. And I pray, Father, your Spirit would have your way today. In Christ's name, amen.